My name is Garland Robinson. Today we want to talk about baptism and salvation. We're going to talk about the recipient of baptism, that is, who is to be baptized. From reading the Bible, we learn that those who are to be baptized are alien sinners. I know a lot of people today think, no, sinners aren't baptized. Christians are baptized. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You'll never find in all of the Scriptures where a Christian was ever baptized. It's those who are alien sinners, those who are lost. Those who are lost and undone in their trespasses and sins. So baptism is for those who have sinned and those who stand separated from God. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. So sin brings about a total separation from God, and when one dies separated from God, then they will always be, and they'll have to spend eternity in hell with the devil. We read in Isaiah 59 and verse 2 that our own sins, our own iniquities, separate us from God. Baptism is that step at which the Lord's blood is applied to wash sins away. We learn that in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 6. When we're baptized into His death, we're planted into His death. And there we contact the blood because Jesus shed His blood in His death. Then we read verse 17 and 18 of Romans 6. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. The Bible is very clear, very distinct, telling us the exact moment that one's sins are washed away. Romans 6, verse 18 there says, being then made free from sin. Well, when was the then? It's when they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Well, what doctrine did they obey? Go back just a few verses there in chapter 6 of Romans, and you learn it was the doctrine of water baptism. No wonder Saul of Tarsus was told by Ananias, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. The only ones who have sinned are those who have reached the age wherein they are now accountable for their sins, that is, for their actions. Well, that rules out infants. It rules out small children. And in some cases, even rules out adults physically who have never mentally progressed to the point of being able to comprehend the significance of sin and the Lord's atoning sacrifice for sin. For all intents and purposes, mentally, they've never developed beyond the child stage. And so they've never sinned. Then we learn that those who are to be baptized are those who have been taught. That is, they know what the Bible says. You just don't go find someone on the street and say, would you like to be baptized? Let me baptize you. And they have no idea what baptism is, what it's for, the significance of it. And so they have to be taught. We read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20 in the Great Commission, where the Lord said, go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. In John chapter 6 and verse 45, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. When Philip had joined himself to the chariot, for the man had been from Ethiopia, been to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning home. He was reading in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 53 was the division. And he asked, do you understand what you read? And the man said, how can I except some man guide me? And so he taught him about Jesus. And when they were on their way, the man said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And there was no reason except that he must make the good confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So those who are to be baptized are those who have learned, those who have been taught the Scriptures, the Word of God. And then we learn that those who are to be baptized are those who believe. They are to believe the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible, that it is inspired, that it tells us of God and tells us about our sin, tells us about the Savior. And then we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that He was the Messiah, He was the long-awaited one, the one prophesied throughout the New Testament who would come and give himself a sacrifice for our sins and shed his blood on our behalf. We read in Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So belief comes before baptism, and baptism comes after belief. In Acts 8:37, again, when the eunuch asked, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" the answer given was, "Thou mayest, if you believe in Jesus Christ." And the man said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Notice that the man simply said, "I believe in Jesus Christ that He is the Son of God." In Acts 18:8, we read about many of those that in the city of Corinth, when they were baptized, the Bible says, "Hearing, they believed and were baptized." Then the Bible says that those who are to be baptized are those who have repented of their sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, then again in verse 5, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." On the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was preached for the very first time, we read where people believed and they cried out and said, "Sirs, what shall we do?" The understanding is, what shall we do to have forgiveness of our sins? They recognized they had crucified the Lord of glory. They had shamed themselves. They had rejected God. What do they do to get forgiveness of that? And they were told, Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." We read that same message taught and preached over and over again throughout the New Testament. In Acts 17:30, the Apostle Paul writes, "God commands all men everywhere to repent." The word repent means to change the mind. We think differently. Our attitude, our outlook, our concept of all that is holy has reversed. It is now changed from the old to the new. Changed from sin to looking into the Lord and His way. So that change of mind leads to a change of life. You know, we will do what our conscience dictates for us to do, what we believe is right. And so when we change our mind, when we repent, that leads to a change of life. And then the Bible says those who are to be baptized are those who have confessed faith in Christ. Again, we go back to the man from Ethiopia, Acts 8:37. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, had he been taught by a lot of denominations today, he would have been taught, well, he needed to confess that God, for Christ's sake, hath already forgiven us, and that all he'd have to do is just take into his heart, believe that Jesus was the Savior, and he would be saved. He wasn't to confess his sins. He wasn't to confess that he had been saved. He was to confess faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." In Romans 10:9-10, we read that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there must be a confession of faith in Christ. We don't confess Muhammad. We don't confess some other man-made deity or whatever false god that men may believe in, but we confess faith in Jesus Christ. Some try to claim authorization for infant baptism. However, they do so to their own destruction, because you can't find anywhere in the Bible anything about infants, small children, being baptized. There's simply no authority in the Scriptures for that. The only ones in the Bible who were ever baptized were those who were responsible for their transgressions. They were mentally capable of understanding and knowing about sin and salvation, knowing the difference between heaven and hell. They were responsible for their actions. Those who were mentally incompetent, of course, cannot believe. They cannot repent. They cannot confess. It's amazing to me, then, why people want to take a little baby. Some religious groups take an infant that is squalling and crying because it don't know what's going on, and somebody supposedly dips their finger in water and sprinkles something over their head. That child knows nothing about baptism. Matter of fact, that's not even baptism. Baptism is not sprinkling. It's not pouring. It is immersion. I don't know of anyone that takes an infant and dunks them under the water, but yet they want to sprinkle that infant. And the infant, even if that was baptism, the infant knows nothing about it. He's certainly not a willing participant. That little baby or child or one mentally incompetent, they don't know what's going on. They don't know about belief. They have no recognition of believing. They have no sins to repent of. They certainly are even unable to confess that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You can't take an infant. I've never seen an infant talk. And yet that individual has to, of their own accord, say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, who is the recipient of baptism? It's those who are lost, those who are dead, those who desire to be alive again. Baptism is for those who have died or are dead in their sins and in their trespasses. You know, I've understood all of my life, and you have as well, that when things die, you bury them. You don't bury one that is alive. And that is a great fear of any of us, isn't it? Now, I remember a lot of people telling me, well, I want them to make sure that I'm dead when they bury me. I don't want to be buried alive. Well, I understand maybe back many, many years ago, there were instances where people were buried alive. They didn't have the medical technology they now have, and sometimes people going into a deep coma would be thought to be dead, and they would hasten to bury them, and then they come to or come to consciousness while in the grave and then suffocate. So what a terrible, terrible thing that is. You know, you bury dead people. You don't bury live people. And so the Bible talks about the fact that when we die to sin, when we're an old man of sin, we desire to be renewed in Christ. That's why you baptized, in order to put away the old and that the new would come forth from that watery grave of baptism. No wonder we read in Romans 6 in verse 4 that those who were baptized are raised up to walk a newness of life. There's a new relationship with Christ. One does not continue living a life of sin. One becomes a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Whoever is baptized, we are become a new creature in Christ. Who's the recipient of baptism? Those who are sinners, those who desire to be saved, those who are mentally competent, able to understand because they've been taught, they believe, they repent, and they have confessed faith in Christ. Would you like to learn God's will and be baptized? If so, then contact us. My name is Garland Robinson.